It's well known that in Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov's name is changed. It's changed to Yisrael. However, what people don't realize often, unless you're actually Maver Sedra, you read the Parsha, is that in fact Yaakov's name was changed twice. First, after wrestling with the Malach of Esav tells him, Lo Yaakov Yemer Od Shimcha, Ki Im Yisrael. You're not going to be called Yaakov anymore, you're going to be called Yisrael. Because you've defeated men and godly images as well, and supernatural beings as well, and therefore you've earned the title Yisrael rather than just the title of Yaakov. However, later on in the parasha, the Ribbono Shel Olam also changes Yaakov's name. He says, Shimcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. Lo Yikra Shimcha Od Yaakov, but your name should not be called Yaakov anymore. Ki Im Yisrael Yeshemecha. Because Yisrael instead should be your name. V'yikra Shemo Yisrael, and therefore God called his name Yisrael. It seems a little bit strange. First of all, why does God preface his remarks by reiterating what Yaakov's current name is? Why does he have to tell him, Shimcha Yaakov, your name is currently Yaakov? So is there a chiddush there? And in fact, there's quite a chiddush there, because the Malach already changed his name to Yisrael. So what's he emphasizing when he says, your name is now Yaakov, but by the way, you shouldn't be called Yaakov anymore, you should be called Yisrael. Furthermore, why did the angel's change of the name need confirmation or perhaps correction from the Ribbono Shel Olam? What exactly changed? What did the Ribbono Shel Olam do different than the Saros Shel Esav originally did? The Saros Shel Esav changed his name. Ribbono Shel Olam changed his name. What did the Ribbono Shel Olam add that the Saros Shel Esav had not yet done? So I saw a beautiful insight, just a brief insight, from Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, Zichron Levracha, the chief rabbi of Krakow in pre-World War II. He died, I believe, in the 1930s. Rav Yosef Nechemya was a great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer from both his mother and his father's side. His parents were first cousins. Anyway, Rav Yosef Nechemya points out the famous Rashi, well-known Rashi. Pasuk says, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. Yaakov came complete to the city of Shechem. And Rashi explains, in the name of the Gemara and Shabbos, Shalem Begufo Shenisrapi Mitzalato. He was Shalem physically. Shalem b'mamono shelo chasar klum yo kolos adaron. He was shalem, he was complete financially. He didn't lose money based on giving over 500 animals of gifts to Esav. Still, he was perfectly fine on a financial level. And shalem b'toraso shelo shachach talmuda b'beis lavan. And he was also perfectly complete when it came to his Torah, because he didn't forget his learning when he was in Lavan's house. So Yosef Nechemya says, let's take a step back. Why would a person go through a galus? How could a person go through a galus and come out unscathed? How could a person remain shalem, remain perfectly fine after going through a galus? So where do we look to find out how we managed to get out of a galus alive? We look to the classic example of galus in Chumash, and that of course is galus Mitzrayim. So what do Chazal tell us? How did we get out of galus Mitzrayim alive? Because lo shinu ha-shemam, Levusham, Malbusham, Lashonam. We didn't change our names, we didn't change our mode of dress, and we didn't change our language, our mode of speech. So perhaps the Torah is hinting to us that Yaakov also escaped unaffected by Galus. Why? Because he was careful to maintain those same three areas of his religion. The Shem, the Malbush, and the Lashon. And that's what's alluded to in the word Shalem itself, says Rav Yosef Nechemya in a beautiful piece of Drush. Shalem, Shin means shame, Lamed is for Lashon, and Mem is for Malbush. He came Shalem because of the Zechus. I'm not changing the shame, the Lashon, and the Malbush. He managed to be Shalem, he managed to come out intact. Yaakov was able to be complete in his Torah, his wealth, and his health, because of his commitment to these three issues, to his name, his clothing, and his manner of speech. What's the connection between these three issues and the three areas where Yaakov came out intact? We said, we identified how Yaakov came out intact. He was Shalem Begufo, Bimamono, Betaroso. What does that have to do? How do those line up exactly with the Hakpada about not changing his shame, his Lashon, and his Malbush throughout the years in Galus? So Rav Yosef Nechemya explains, again, beautifully, al derech hadrush, that there's a midah keneged midah. Primarily, man is made up of a neshama. What makes a person unique? What makes a person who he is? It says neshama. The body serves as the shell, or the way that Chazal often refer to it, as the levush, the clothing for the neshama. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us, Hanashama nikris ner, shenemer ner Hashem nishmas Adam, Shabbos Taf Lamed Beis, that the neshama is referred to as a ner, the ner Hashem is nishmas Adam, and the mitzvah is called a ner, ki ner mitzvah v'torah o, the Torah or, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, neri biyodcha v'nercha biyodi, my candle is in your hand, your candle is in my hand. Im atam mishamer es neri, if you observe my ner, namely, ner mitzvah v'torah or, ani mishamer es nercha, I'll watch over your ner, namely, your neshama. So if that could be said, that such a deal that we have with the Ribbono Shel'Olam could be said about the Levut, about the Neshama, about the core of a person, perhaps the same could be said for the Levush as well. If we observe God's clothing, if we take care of the clothing that God gave us, meaning the body that the Ribbono Shel'Olam gave us, we maintain the tznius of the required of a Jew, the tzura of a Jew, we look like a Jew on the outside, He will watch over our clothing. If we take care of the clothing He gives us, He will take care of our clothing, namely our bodies, and ensure our physical health. It's in the merit of not changing the mem, the malbush of Shalem, right, that last letter of Shalem, that Yaakov was zoche to his physical health. Because he didn't change what we refer to as malbush, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, what I refer to as malbush, the malbush over your neshama, will remain intact as well. Next, the Pasuk of Malachi tells us, Torah's emes haisa b'fiyu, v'avlo lo nimtza b'svasav. Torah is compared to wine. Just as wine is only sweet and tasty if you put it into a clean vessel, Torah is only pure and good if you put it through a clean mouth. Torah's emes haisa b'fiyu, the Pasuk says. Only if, when is Torah's emes going to be in his mouth? Only if, avlo lo nimtza b'svasav. Only if there's nothing negative coming out of the mouth. The mouth is not full of Lashon Hara and Rechilus and Nivul Peh. For Torah to work for us as a Sam Chayim, we have to keep our mouths clear of all of these things, of Dvar Sheker and Nivul Peh and Lashon Hara and Rechilus. So because Yaakov observes the Lamid of Shalem, the Lashon, he was Zocha to remain complete in his Torah. Because when is Torah's emes haisa b'fihu? When are you able to be shalem in your Torah? When are you able to express Torah in a profound way? When avla lo nimtza b'svasav, when you're pure in your lashon in general, in the way you carry yourself throughout life. And finally, there are two ways that people who come from modest beginnings tend to deal with tremendous success and sudden success. Pasuk says, Mikimi mi'afradol, Me'ashbos Yarim Evyon. And Rav Yossi Nechemya quotes his great-grandfather, the Chassam Sofer, who explains that one who has sudden success can choose to forget where he came from and fall into the trap of always wanting more. Right? The Pasuk says, Oiv Kesef, Mishle, Oiv Kesef, Lo Yishpa Kesef. Someone who loves money is never going to be satisfied with money. The Mishle says, Mishle Yoshomana Ratzim Asayim, Mishle Novel. Someone who has 100 is always going to want 200. Such a person will never have the pleasure of enjoying and making proper use of his wealth. He's going to forget where he came from, and he'll always be looking at where he's at now, and he'll always think that there's something that he still doesn't have. And such a person could have all the money in the world, but he'll never enjoy it. On the other hand, someone who constantly remembers his past, someone who always knows where he came from, can take pride in each stage of his development. Whenever he's down, he could just say, you know what? Look what I have now, and look what I used to have. It's unbelievable. Compared to where I could be, compared to where I came from, I'm doing great. Mikimi me'afar dol, a poor man who has risen from the dirt, yarim ani ve'evyon, will raise up his brethren who need his help. If he no longer sees himself as the poor man, he'll ignore the plight of others, and he'll never be satisfied with himself. But if he understands where he came from, and he remembers where he came from, then he's going to help, and he's going to give tzedakah, and he's going to do for others. And he'll take satisfaction in what he has. When Esav's angel changes Yaakov's name, it was a bracha, but there was a hidden curse in it. Esav's angel says, yeah, now you're successful. Now you're rich. Your name is Yisrael. Forget that you were ever Yaakov, which Yaakov represents being at the Akev. Yaakov represents a lowly state. Forget that you were ever Yaakov. But the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, there's no forgetting that you were Yaakov. Shimcha Yaakov! Make no mistake about it, your name is Yaakov. Don't forget that you're just a little Yaakov who had nothing but the shirt on his back and his walking stick when he went to Lavan. Always remember that. And only when you remember Shimcha Yaakov, then you'll understand what it means to be Yisrael. Then you'll understand the beauty of being Yisrael, the joy of being Yisrael, and the merit of Yaakov, therefore, not changing the shin of Shalem, the shame. He didn't change his shame. Yes, he became Yisrael, but he never forgot that he was Yaakov, and that's why he was Shalem b'mamono. He was able to be Sameach b'chelko. He was able to be happy with the money that he had. He wasn't concerned about getting more and more. He was able to be Shalem b'mamono. So again, the Shalem, the Shin, the Lamed, and the Mem, which stand for how Yaakov came, Shalem b'gufo, Shalem b'taraso, Shalem b'mamono, are paralleled by the Shin, the Lamed, and the Mem of the zechuyos shaloshinu es shemo es lashono ves malbusho. It's because he didn't change his malbush, he didn't change his clothing, his outward appearance, the appearance of a Jew, because he didn't change that malbush. That's why he was zoche to the malbush of the neshama, the guf. He was shalim begufo because he didn't change his lashon, the way that he spoke. That's why he was able to be shalim b'toroso, because his mouth was still pure, and because he didn't change his shame, he didn't forget who he was and where he came from, what his name was. That's why he was able to be Shalim b'mamono. So a profound message from Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer, that what it takes to be a Jew in Galus, what it takes to survive in Galus, and to come out not just surviving but thriving, to come out Shalim, to come out as Shleimim, as people are complete, is if we take care of these three areas. Our malbush, our dress, being a dress that reflects the dress of a Jew with the proper humility, our lashon, the way that we speak, in a refined way, allowing our mouths to continue to speak Torah in the most pure way possible. And of course, our shame, to never forget who we are, where we came from, how we started, never forget our humble beginnings, and thereby never view ourselves as greater than anyone else who's in a difficult matzav, who's in a difficult situation, and thereby be able to enjoy whatever brachos the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, and to share it with others who are in greater need.